of the oldest in North America. It has been the civic symbol of Pointe-Claire since 1911. It was also designated as a heritage site by Quebec's Ministry of Culture and Communications in 1983. Though it's been repaired before, it's now in need of restoration due to damage, including a roof leak and broken sails. The restoration aims to preserve this historical landmark and turn the site into a cultural hub that offers tours and educational programs. The project is being funded by private donations, with plans to raise additional funds through further campaigns. This week, the mayors of Montreal, Quebec City, and Laval are heading to Washington, D.C. to join other city leaders for a Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Alliance event. During the event, around 30 mayors will discuss how to build ties between Canadian and American cities. This year, the event will be held in the wake of the new tariff dispute between the two countries, with the U.S. imposing a 25% tariff on Canadian goods. Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante told the Canadian press that the mission to Washington is an opportunity to warn American elected officials that the tariff war will hurt both countries' economies. This trip follows several efforts by Canadian leaders to show the U.S. the broader economic consequences of these tariffs. Monday, March 3rd marked the 150th anniversary of the first official indoor hockey game played in Montreal in 1875. The game took place at the Victoria Rink, where the Centre Sheraton Hotel now stands. This event is considered the beginning of modern ice hockey. To celebrate, Mathieu Lacombe, Quebec's Minister of Culture and Communications, announced that the 1875 game will now be recognized as a historic event under the Cultural Heritage Act. A commemorative plaque was also unveiled. Christian Labbé, head of Hockey Quebec, voiced his pride in the sport's history and its importance to Quebec's identity and culture. The anniversary follows Quebec's recent decision to officially recognize hockey as the province's national sport. For more, go to cglo.com/news or follow CGLO News on Spotify.
All right. The blue on the sea, loose and complete under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so it danced the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim. And I'm told, what's wrong? What's going on? Can't tie yourself up for a deal. He said, I know this side. Shut your big mouth. Postcards ain't got no souvenirs. My baby, she don't know me when I'm thinking about those years.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Hope everyone's doing well. Man, what a time of year now. We've gone through the dog days. It is over for sports news. We have NFL free agency kicking off today. Happened just an hour ago. It opened. We already had big movement as well. We'll get into that. Two big trades over the weekend in the NFL. That included the Seattle Seahawks losing two key starters. We'll get into that. Indian Wells is heating up in tennis. The Players' Championship this week in golf, and we just had one of the craziest NHL trade deadlines maybe I can remember. Remember there's a few years ago where there was just a ton of volume trades? Maybe it was a 2019, 2018. One of those years was just, wasn't mega deals, was just a deal every 2 seconds, and that was a cool deadline. But on Friday, especially as a Bruins fan, that was one of the most chaotic deadlines in my lifetime. So we will get into that, because that was just an insane NHL trade deadline. And not to mention the NBA had two of the best teams in the leagues going at it this weekend, the Celtics and the Lakers, and Oklahoma City and Denver. So that it was a big week in the NBA. It's just great to have sports finally back in a groove. Once post-Super Bowl, I mean, thank God for the Four Nations, but because besides that, nothing really happened at the NBA trade deadline. The NHL, there's no games for a bit after the Four Nations, and you're kind of just waiting around. But now we got big golf tournaments, big tennis tournaments, the first major of the year at Augusta National, month away. Man, it's a great time of year. Great time of year. So we'll quickly get into, we'll switch things up. We will start with the NHL today, and then we'll transition into the NFL free agency and the trades that happened. And news will be breaking throughout the show. So we'll be breaking some of the NFL free agency because it is now. We had quickly Chris Godwin staying in Tampa Bay. There's a lot of teams interested in him. The Patriots are interested in him. I believe Pittsburgh was until they went and got Metcalf. He ultimately goes back to Tampa Bay, and he gets a nice little contract there. What was it? $66 million bucks for 3 years. So $22 million a year, coming off a big injury. And reports he turned down over $20 million more to play for the Patriots. The Patriots went all in, but he wanted to stay in Tampa Bay. So that was a report from Adam Schefter. And the other really big move today, the Bears solidifying their offensive front. They got Drew Dahlman, the center from Atlanta. He goes to Chicago for 3 years, $42 million. And we're just waiting. We are waiting. We had Khalil Mack go back to the Chargers today. And obviously we had DK Metcalf yesterday to Pittsburgh in a trade, and then he signs a huge five-year, $150 million extension. And then we had Geno Smith getting traded to the Raiders. That was on Saturday, I believe. And then you had Davante Adams going to L.A. Josh Allen gets the biggest contract per year in NFL history. It was a crazy afternoon. Harold Landry going to the Patriots. Nick Bolton staying with Kansas City. So the news is trickling in. We will get into that later in the show as more free agency news will occur. So here we are. So we'll start with the NHL. And going into the trade deadline, personally, for me, there was three things to look out for, and they all happened. It was, what the hell is going to happen with Mikko Rantanen? Because that was one of the craziest situations I've ever seen. You have a player who, playing in Colorado, we all thought was a top 10 player in the league. He's a 100-point guy every year. He's big, strong, dominant in the postseason. Sure, he's playing with Nathan MacKinnon, and he has Makar on his team, and he's on the power play, and that helps. But you can clearly see he's a dominant player in the National Hockey League. But he gets traded because clearly him and Colorado weren't getting to an agreement, and he was kind of blindsided by the trade. Colorado, they go get Martinikis, they go get Drury and a pick for Mikko Rantanen, and they were not seeing that coming. Mikko Rantanen's camp, they had no idea. And Carolina's flaw in that deal, which I believe we even talked about on this program once he was traded, is where's the contract? Where is it? Where's the extension? You don't give up Martinikis, you don't give up Drury and a few picks to get Rantanen if you don't have him extended. You need to make sure he wants to come to Carolina and play for Carolina for years to come. Sign him to that extension. Doesn't happen. Clearly is rattled by the decision, and he's thrown into Carolina. New team, new situation, new time zone, new everything. Doesn't play well. Let's be honest. He's a great player. He wasn't playing well in Carolina. And then constantly throughout the Four Nations in the last few weeks, Carolina's like, so what about that extension? Are we going to get that extension or what? We traded for you. Can we get that extension? And I don't fault Mikko Rantanen and his camp for saying, hey, you know, this is all a lot for me to take in right now. I'm not sure. Which basically saying, no, I'm not really feeling Carolina. And to Carolina's credit, they made a mistake and they tried to fix it. And then when I heard the reports that the people were calling on Mikko Rantanen, he was going to get dealt. because even if the return was awful, they want to get something for him. And sure, they could keep him around, hope that he turns into the player he was in Colorado if he for the postseason. They could have done that and then see him walk like Jake Guentzel last year. But I just didn't see that happening twice. They tried it with Guentzel last year. It didn't work. And the same thing was going to happen with Mikko Rantanen. So that was the storyline I was looking forward to the most. I'm like, what's going to happen with Rantanen? And right around noon, 1 o'clock, the big trade, and it's the Dallas Stars, who are really just a sleeping giant in the Western Conference. They had all the talent in the world to start the year. Oh, no, it's Winnipeg. Oh, Colorado's healthy. Oh, no, everyone's talking about other teams. And just slowly, Dallas just crept up and have just been playing dominant hockey right before the trade deadline. And they're right there in the Western Conference on 86 points. They're 8-2 in their last 10. But we hear in this country, Winnipeg, understandably, they've been fantastic. We hear about McKinnon and McCarr and how well Nietzsche has fit in Colorado. We talk about Vegas. We talk about Edmonton. We talk about everyone else. L.A. No one was really talking about the Dallas Stars when they were quietly having one of the best years in the National Hockey League. And they go, they give up Stankoven, who's going to be a very good player in this league. They give up 2 first-round picks. They gave up all that. But know what they did? They made sure that he was signing an extension. And he did. $96 million, 8 years, $12 million a year. Here's our contract. If you don't sign it, we're not getting you. And Mikko Rantanen said, okay, I'll sign it. And I know it's crazy. He probably had that same offer in Colorado. He probably did. I don't know for sure, but I doubt they didn't offer him 12 with the salary cap going up. It's less than McKinnon. They probably offered him in the range of anywhere from, I'd say, 11 to 12-3, I think was the window for Mikko Rantanen in Colorado, if I were to guess. McKinnon's at 12-6. I don't think they go to 12-5. Maybe they would have. I don't know. But they wouldn't go to 12-5. And then McCarr's a few years away, and he's just going to break the bank with the new one. They have two of the best players in the NHL. It was Draisaitl, McDavid, McKinnon, McCarr, to me, are the four best players in the National Hockey League. They have two of them. Edmonton has the other two. But they have two of them, and they know they have to pay McCarr, who's a defenseman, number one defenseman, and they have to give him that money. So that's why that was their top dollar. And clearly, Rantanen's camp thought he could get more. Clearly. But you go to two destinations, Carolina and Dallas, and they told you, hey, that's what you're worth. You're worth $12 million a year. And he signed it. Now he's going to Dallas. He's going to Texas. Better tax bracket for him. I don't even know what the tax is in Texas, but it's much better than Denver, much better than Carolina, North Carolina. That's what they were saying on the broadcast on Trade Center. So he gets his big contract. Good for him. Dallas, it's a good fit. Hintz, he gets to play with him, gets to play with Jason Robertson, Miro Heiskanen. So with Hintz, Rantanen, Heiskanen, there's a lot of Finns there. It's a good fit for him. They can play. They play more his style than Carolina does. The Rod Brind'Amour style of play, not ideal for Mikko Rantanen. But this style in Dallas, very similar to Colorado, I think he's going to play well. So that's a good fit for me, and it sounded like Pierre LeBrun was saying it. It's either he stays in Carolina or he goes to Dallas. I mean, L.A. was sort of in. Edmonton called. Toronto called. They wanted Mitch Marner. They wanted Easton Cowan. They wanted Minton, couple first. But no. He said that's not going to happen. The trade is going to be to Dallas. And it's going to include picks, and it's probably going to include Stankoven. And that's absolutely what happened. And he gets that 8-year extension. The other key storyline I want to see was, what are the Leafs going to do? Because this is a new regime in Toronto. I know they've been around now, 2 years? But this is finally a chance. They look at the Eastern Conference, and this is their chance. And I don't feel like we say this all the time with the Maple Leafs, but, I mean, Boston's having an atrocious season. Florida and Tampa are always good, but you've beaten Tampa before, and you have Florida, who's gone to two back-to-back cup finals, and who might be, let's just say, might be gassing out. They're still great in the regular season, but you hope that you'll get them in the playoffs, and they're just exhausted. Then Tkachuk goes down with injury. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. But a week earlier, Florida go get Seth Jones. And Toronto, to their credit, say, you know what? We're not going to let all those teams retool and take us down. They go get Lawton from Philadelphia to be the third line center, which I like a lot. He's not a great player, but to be a third line center, that's his role. In the past, the Leafs have gone and acquired other players and try and fit them into a role. It doesn't usually work. They needed a third line center, and they got a good third line center in Scott Lawton. But the whole day, they were waiting for that. Who's going to be that right shot D-man? Tanev's hurt. I know he's going to come back, but it's just been a mess. They have Oliver Ekman-Larsson playing out of position. The back end has just been awful as of late. And they go get Brandon Carlo. They go get Brandon Carlo, which, as a Bruins fan, it was a bit hit or miss because the Brandon Carlo a few years ago was a fantastic right shot defenseman. Played big, big minutes in the postseason the last few years. He's a very good player. But he's not he wasn't having a good year. Well, let's be honest. He was not the Brandon Carlo of years past. It was just a down year for everyone on Boston. It's apart from Pasternak, no one's really played well. And he gets dealt. Boston gets a very good return. Frazier, Minton, a first and a fourth, I think. Minton's one of their top prospects, if not their top prospect, between him and Easton Cowan. And they get a first round pick and they get a fourth. So that was a good trade for Boston. But I like it from Toronto's perspective as well. He has term left on the deal. They needed a right shot defenseman. He has playoff experience. He can play with Morgan Riley. I really like the fit. But I didn't know if Toronto was going to do it. I really didn't know because they've been burnt in the past. They've gone all in before and it hasn't worked. Remember, they got Ryan O'Reilly 1 year. They gave up a first round pick and other things. Remember, they got Nick Foligno all those years ago, gave up a first round pick, prospects. They've traded a lot of assets over the years to try and get over the line, make an Eastern Conference final, make a Stanley Cup final, and it just hasn't worked out for them. But this year, I look around, you have Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, all those guys are still there. But you got a Brandon Tanev on the back end. You got a Stolarz Zanett who's playing fantastic. You got Craig Berube, who's a Stanley Cup winning head coach. This is their best team, in my opinion, for a postseason run they've ever had. Were there holes on the roster? Sure. I don't think Max Domi's a third line center. I think he's better on the wing. I don't like him at center. They had to go get a center. I was very shocked when they immediately just went Scott Lawton. It made sense, but I didn't think they would go all in. I really didn't, because they've heard all the years and Toronto were like, we have all these guys. We need to build up the prospect pool. No. Matthews is still in his 20s. Nylander's still in his 20s. Marner's still in his 20s. Your window's now. Sure, eventually you're going to run into the situation Pittsburgh's in. You're going to run into the situation that the Blackhawks are in, San Jose, when you try and go all in for cups, and then you have to pay the price down the line. But Toronto, your window's now. Who cares about Frazier Minton? Who cares about Easton Cowan? Matthew Nyes is a very good young player. He's going to be there for a long time. You have young pieces, but your time's now. You have four or maybe even five elite NHL players on your roster. You need to go all in now. You got a grizzled back end. Finally, good goaltending. Not just good goaltending. Great goaltending with Stolarz. You had to go all in. And I credit their front office. I credit Trey Living. He did a great job. They go get Scott Lawton. They looked, where's the other thing we need? Oh, we need another right shot defenseman. Okay, let's call Boston. Let's get Brandon Carlo. They went all in, and I got to credit them for doing that. I really do. Love that pickup for the Leafs, both of them. Then the third thing is, what are the Bruins going to do? Because once Nikita Zorov's stick snapped against Carolina and the Hurricanes scored, with 20 seconds left, and the Bruins lost again on Thursday night. I knew they'd just be unloading. And they already traded Brazo, and they already traded Trent Frederick. But I thought, you know what, no one's safe. Except for Pasternak, McAvoy, Swayman, no one's safe. And they traded pretty much everyone of notice. They traded Charlie Coyle, and I like that trade a lot. Casey Mittelstadt, he's a fine player. He's a good player. Still in his mid-20s, has some term left. He's got some skill, which I like. They go get the kid Zellers. Was it Will Zellers, who's lighting up the USHL? Going to be a good player. Great prospect. All right, we'll throw him in. We get a second-round pick, and Charlie Coyle's out the door. Okay, and I like that fit for Colorado. Now they're going to go down with McKinnon, who Charlie Coyle, Brock Nelson, all those guys down the middle of the ice. That's going to be tough to beat in the postseason. Really, really like that deal for both sides. They trade, like we mentioned, Brandon Carlo, just adding to that prospect pool with Minton, get the picks. But then the one I wasn't seeing at all, just because I didn't think they would ever trade him, is Brad Marchand of Florida. And if you look at Marchand's age, his production, his expiring contract, where the Bruins are in the standings, it makes sense why he was dealt. If it was any other player, they don't trade him. Sorry, they do trade him. For 100 times out of 100, they trade him. But Marchand's just not any other player. He's the last member from the 2011 Cup team. He's your captain. He's one of, what, the 5 to 10 greatest Bruins of all time. And he is the Boston Bruins in that locker room, in the city. When you think of the Boston Bruins over the last 10, 15 years, you think of Brad Marchand. He's a pest. He's hard to play against. And like I said on our Instagram, you can follow the Tommy John Show at the Tommy John Show on Instagram. I posted an immediate reaction to Marchand getting traded. And what I said, that people will remember Brad Marchand for being a player they couldn't stand, but a player they would want on their hockey team. That's Brad Marchand. Everyone hated him if you weren't a Bruins fan. And I know it was amplified 100 times being in this city, in this market, in Montreal. No one liked Brad Marchand. But every time I was talking to someone about the Bruins, they'd say, oh, I hate Brad Marchand, but I'd take him on my team tomorrow. He was the perfect winger in the NHL. Sure, could he have been a bit bigger? Sure. But he fought for pucks. He got under players' skins. Had a hell of a shot, produced offensively, killed penalties. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and his number will be in the rafters in the Garden forever one day. So that's why it was surprising that they dealt him. He wanted to stay in Boston, wanted to sign an extension. They came to an agreement on the length. They want to give him 2 years. He wanted 3 years. Like, okay, we'll give you 3 years. But they couldn't come to an agreement on the AAV. And he gets dealt. And he goes to Florida. And to think Florida now has Brad Marchand, Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett. That's going to be a handful for anyone in the postseason. And anyone. Like, I am stunned. Absolutely stunned. That he got traded. I really am. It makes sense, but it's still, it feels wrong. And he hasn't played yet because he's injured. But it's when he's going to skate out in Florida with the red jersey on. I even just saw bits of his press conference today in Florida, him wearing the Panthers gear. And it looks wrong. It still looks wrong. But still, I understand it from the Bruins' perspective. But still, I just thought he never would get dealt. It hurts for me. And it's a conditional second. It could become a first, depending on how many rounds they win. I think if they win 2 playoff rounds, it becomes like a 2028 first or something like that. Okay, we'll see what that trade becomes. We see who the Bruins get or what they use that pick for. But I was fine just keeping Marchand, just for everything he's done, just sign him to that deal. And then it would have been a perfect deadline for me. Because the Bruins had the last ranked prospect pool. The worst. 32nd. Dead last. Prospect pool in the National Hockey League. And coming out of this deadline, it's a pretty darn good prospect pool, in my opinion. You add Colorado's best prospect, Toronto's best prospect. I don't know how many second-round picks the Bruins have. It seems endless, considering the Trent Frederick trade, the Brazo trade, the Charlie Coyle trade, Marchand trade. Those are all second-round picks. Not to mention the first they get for also, along with Fraser Minton. They just have a ton of picks coming up, which are going to be great prospects, hopefully. And then they added Zellers. They added Minton. They're just adding all these young guys. The young Belarusian kid. So the Bruins prospect pool and future got so much better. And now their roster is the second youngest in the NHL. So I like that we're trending in a younger direction. They're trying to pull the Washington model, rebuild on the fly. We'll see if it works, but they won 4-0 the other night. And what's great about hockey is if you get a hot goalie, you steal games. And Jeremy Swayman, people forget how good he was in the postseason last year, but they were totally outmatched against Florida in that series. And he single-handedly won them two games. Game one, in Game 5 in Florida, Swayman was brilliant. And we saw flashes on Saturday of that Jeremy Swayman. Just the saves he was making, sticking his paddle out, making unbelievable saves. And they get the job done. They beat, go into Tampa and get a win against Tampa Bay. Now, are the Bruins going to make the postseason? I doubt it. But they saw, you know what? Even if we had all these guys on our team, we have been awful this year. Let's retool on the fly, get younger, get some assets for the future, and rebuild. So aside from Marchand getting dealt, and that's more of a personal grievance I have with the Bruins, it was a great deadline for them. And they were involved in everything. Then they go flip one, like a fourth-round pick for Yuki Haru to Buffalo. The Bruins were just running the trade deadline. San Jose, too. Ottawa had a great deadline as well. They made some moves. But the Bruins were involved in everything. Absolutely everything. So to recap, the three things I thought would happen would be the Bruins were going to be busy, which they were. The Leafs, what were they going to do? I had no idea. Credit to them, they went all in. And that Mika Rantanen situation finally comes to a close. Because now we're not even waiting for July 1st. He gets traded, but Dallas did what Carolina didn't. They made sure there was an extension, which seems like general managing 101. When you go after a player like that and you give up what Carolina gave up to get Mikko Rantanen, you have to make sure there's an extension. They just assumed because he was on what the few team trade list that, oh, he'll sign an extension here. No, make sure, call his agent. I know Colorado wanted to do it privately. Didn't want to publicize that this trade was happening. But still, you got to say, hey, we have to make sure he's signing. They gave up Nietzsche, Jury, all these guys. And yes, Stan Coven's going to be fantastic. And they got two first-round picks. But it does not make Carolina better in the short term. It doesn't. So just a hectic deadline. Nuts. And I really like that Dylan Cousins trade, too. Ottawa got a big win over the weekend. And he had an assist. And he was physical. He was hitting everything that moved. He had a really, really good game. So credit to Dylan Cousins. That's a good start in Ottawa. I think players, once they leave Buffalo, just blossom. Look at Jack Eichel. I know he had that one good year in Buffalo, but he's one of the 10 best players in the world. He really is. Look at Reinhardt. Reinhardt scored 50 goals last year, 50-something goals. Won a Stanley Cup. Was on Team Canada. He was on the Sabres. It just, once you leave Buffalo, it's just your life changes. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We have to get into a quick ad. When we come back, we'll quickly get into what happened over the weekend at the Arnold Palmer. That was unbelievable. Russell Henley winning down there. And we have to talk a bit of this NFL free agency because it is heating up and big names are on the move as well. I'm Tom Lane for the Tommy John Show. We're back after this quick word from our sponsors. Do not go away.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artists. More info on Cilidor.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You've already pretended to be a Costigan from South Boston.
Every weekend, Sergeant.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
We're back here on the Tommy John Show. And, man, the NFL free agency is just already blowing up. So the big one today was Chris Godwin. It was linked to a bunch of places. He goes back to Tampa Bay, gets a nice contract, $66 million over 3 years. Good for him. The big one today is Milton Williams. He was linked to the Patriots. Philly weren't going to pay him. They have Jalen Carter. He was linked to a bunch of other teams. He ends up going to Carolina. The money's not out yet, but it looks like it's Carolina. And that was a big one. Then you had... was it Robert Spillane going to New England? Carlton Davis on a $60 million deal, 3 years, goes to New England. Then you have Morgan Moses, the tackle, 3 years, $24 million. He's going to New England. So New England's being active. They have a ton of money to spend, and they're going out there. And they're not getting the top dogs. They wanted Chris Godwin. They didn't get him. They wanted Milton Williams. Didn't get him. They were praying Ronnie Stanley would hit free agency. He ends up going back to Baltimore. But they're just signing good players. Are any of these guys all pros? No. But they needed a good player at each position. They have a quarterback and they have an all-world corner in Gonzalez. They needed help everywhere else. They go get Carlton Davis. He can be their second corner. They go get Spillane from the Raiders. He'll be a good pass-covering linebacker. They go and re-sign Austin Hooper. They go and sign Harold Landry to a 3-year deal. So the Patriots are making good moves just to make the team better in the short term. And that's all they need. They have a quarterback, and now they got Vrabel as head coach, so it's slightly more desirable. But let's be honest, it's not a great place right now to play. The team stinks. And players would rather go to other places. But the Patriots need to just invest right now for the short term. Just get good players. Hope you make a good run next year. Win a couple more games. 8 games, 9 games. Becomes a more desirable location. But people have looked at the Patriots post-Tom Brady and think it's a dumpster fire. And rightfully so. Since Brady's left, it has not been pretty. But they have so much money to spend. They have to overspend for Carlton Davis, overspend for Morgan Moses, and they have to do it. They're in that position. They have to pay the suck tax. And even as a Patriots fan, I'm not foolish. I didn't think Milton Williams was going to come there. But guys like Morgan Moses, Carlton Davis, those are the level of free agents they have to target. And those players are great for a team like New England. They're much better than what they have. They're not elite, and they'll make them maybe a wild card team next year. If Drake May is as good as we all think he's going to be, then the Patriots are going to win ball games. They addressed that tackle there with Morgan Moses, great, but they have to get a pass catcher. I think they've done enough defensively. They have so much money, I guess they can do whatever the hell they want, but they go get a corner, Carlton Davis, they get Spillane, they get Landry, that's two good linebackers who can get after the quarterback if they want. Now, thank God they signed a tackle, but they better go out and get a wide receiver. Because poor Drake May, whether it's the draft or something, they need to help this kid out. He has all the talent in the world, but they have no weapons on offense. But still, defensively, they're much better today. With Landry, Spillane, Carlton Davis, and you have Christian Gonzalez there already, they're much better defensively. Much better. So the big move over the weekend, the two biggest ones, actually, weren't free agent moves. Sure, Ronnie Stanley was big, and Josh Allen got his huge big contract, and we'll get into Davante Adams later. But the big, big move, moves, I actually put it with an S, were from Seattle. They got rid of their quarterback, and they got rid of their star wide receiver. DK Metcalf gets traded to Pittsburgh yesterday, and then he signs that big five-year contract extension, and Geno Smith's out the door. And we'll quickly touch on Geno Smith first. So Seattle is clearly trying to get younger. They're competitive. They've been competitive for years now, but they want to get younger. And they know what Geno Smith is. They've had him for years now. There's a ceiling with him. Is he a good starting quarterback? Yes. Can he win you 8-9 games? Can he possibly get you a wild card? Yes. But it seems like this new era in Seattle with McDonald as the head coach is, you know what? We want to be better than that. We want to play in NFC Championship games. We want a possibility of getting to a Super Bowl. And yes, and it might be 1 year backwards to do that. We might fall back this year. But for the long term, this is what we have to do. That has to be the only explanation. Because I'm not the biggest Sam Howell fan. I think he's fine. He's not going to be the long-term answer at quarterback for Seattle. He's not. The answer will be either they go after Sam Darnold in free agency, or they love one of these kids in the draft. Maybe it's Jackson Dart. Maybe they have a plan to go get Shedeur Sanders. Maybe it's Quinn Ewers. I don't know. But clearly they have a plan in place. Because you don't just trade your quarterback away if you don't have something lined up. Geno's a good quarterback. And the Raiders, it made perfect sense. You have Pete Carroll there who loves Geno Smith. Knows what he loves Geno. He was so confident in Geno, he wanted Russell Wilson out the door. He loves Geno Smith. So that's a great fit there. They with Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers is still there for now. They're going to address that outside, I hope, if you're a Raiders fan. Give Geno something. But it's just the red zone that kills Geno Smith. Absolutely kills Geno Smith. Because, man, from his own 1 yard line to the opposing team's 20, Geno's right up there with quarterbacks. He is fantastic. He's got a great arm, can make every throw, but once he gets to the red zone, I don't know what the hell happens. Just kind of freezes. But listen, the Raiders have been in that rut of quarterbacks. They had Derek Carr, who was fine. He was good. He was fine. But then after that, you're on the Aiden O'Connell, Garner Minshew little run. And it's not pretty. And you're desperate. And giving up a third-round pick to get a guy of Geno who's made a guy of Geno's caliber, who's played in a Pro Bowl, who took Seattle to the playoffs a few years ago, it's just a big upgrade. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? No. Are they going to make the playoffs? Probably not. But if you're a team like the Raiders, this buys you time at quarterback. If they don't love Shedeur Sanders, they don't want to trade up and get Cam Ward, don't like Jackson Dart either, this is a perfect little bridge. Next year's quarterback class is supposed to be far, far better. You have possibly Arch Manning. You have Nico Iamaleva from Tennessee. You have Drew Aller from Penn State. These guys are all slated to be top 5 to 10 picks next year. And they have high, high ceilings. This year's quarterback draft class, I'm sorry, outside of Cam Moore, Shedeur Sanders, maybe Jackson Dart, there's nothing that special. Quinn Ewers, everyone loved. He really regressed at the end of the year, so we'll see what happens. But he's not going to be a first, second, probably not even a third-round pick. So here we are. And the Raiders looked at it and said, you know what? The hell with it. Pete Carroll loves Geno Smith. Let's just give up a third, and we have our quarterback next year. Probably the year after that, too. I see Geno as a one-year starter for sure. Then I believe his contract's up, and I don't see why not he wouldn't stay with the Raiders, or at least sign to stay with the Raiders. He knows Pete Carroll. He's in a great city in Las Vegas, West Coast, at least Western time zone. I would see Geno signing there for 2 more years after that. It buys the Raiders time. Or they could take a Shedeur Sanders and then just sit him and learn behind a veteran like Geno. That could work too. This opens up a ton of options for the Raiders. So I really like the deal for them.
I do. Seattle, I just hope they have a plan in place. And maybe it is Sam Howell. Who knows? Maybe they see something in him that I don't. But it sounds like they're going to go all in for Sam Darnold. They had a meeting with Aaron Rodgers. So I hope they have a plan. Because it makes no sense for me to just trade the quarterback away and have just nothing ready to replace him. Just nothing there. So they must have some confidence in Sam Howell, or they must have had a great conversation with Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, or they know they're going to trade up in the draft and get a quarterback. They have to have something. They have some plan, I hope. Because you don't just let Geno. I know he's not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but he's a good starting quarterback. He's a borderline top, what, half of the league starting quarterback. You don't just let him go for nothing. You had stability at quarterback, and now it's a bit iffy. So let's see what happens. Do they trade up? Seattle's a big question mark. And the other thing that was happening leading up to the Geno Smith trade was Tyler Lockett getting released and DK Metcalf wanting out. And then a day later, they turn to Pittsburgh. They get a second round pick. DK Metcalf's off to Pittsburgh. He signs the 5-year, $150 million deal. Now, we'll quickly touch on it from Seattle's point of view. They're clearly getting younger, and they want to turn the roster over on the fly. They get a second round pick. They're going to pick a guy and hope he plays right away as a second round pick, and they're on their way. But Seattle, to their credit, in the past, have drafted extremely well at running back, has drafted extremely well at wide receiver. Look at the guys they've drafted over the years. DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Tyler Lockett. They've had awesome, awesome wide receivers come through there. So I trust them to hit again because they always seem to get good receivers. And if you really think about it, John Schneider is a very good GM. Very good GM. So I trust him. He's been around Seattle for a long time. He GM'd that Super Bowl team. Clearly he knows what he's doing. But I want to know is what the plan is. I'm dying to know what it is. Obviously, Jaxon Smith-Njigba has the potential to be an all-world receiver in the league. And we saw that this year. But this is a far different Seahawks team than a few days ago. They had Tyler Lockett, JSN, DK Metcalf, Geno Smith as their four big weapons in the pass game. Sure, they still have Walker and Charbonnet, the two running backs. They're great. But in the pass game now, it's just JSN. So we'll see what they do. But I trust John Schneider to draft at that position because he is hit all the time. Hit on JSN, hit on Tyler Lockett, hit on DK Metcalf, and he's going to have to hit again. He really is going to have to. But the bigger trade, in my opinion, the bigger winner of the trade is Pittsburgh. And yes, $150 million seems astronomical for DK Metcalf. It's a 5-year deal. He's known to be sometimes of a weird guy in the locker room. But they have been so bad offensively, like so bad, horrific, awful offensively in crunch time. They had to get this done. How many times in a big playoff game has the Steelers' offense just let them down? It's unbelievable. It seems like it's all the time. And I know they haven't had prime Big Ben for a while now, but still, come on. Look at those weapons on the outside. It's George Pickens or nothing. Nothing. They have a decent run game, I guess. I like Najee Harris. Jalen Warren's fine. But who do they have? They have Freiermuth, who's an okay tight end, and George Pickens. They needed to get a threat on the outside, another threat. And they went and got DK Metcalf, who I really like. There's some people who don't really like DK Metcalf. Every time I watch Seattle, I'm impressed with DK Metcalf. I think he has game-breaking ability. He's for that size to be that quick and have that catch radius. I'm a big DK Metcalf fan, hence why I want the Patriots to go and get him. And people are talking about what they gave up. Oh my God, a second round pick. And you give them that big contract. Listen, that's the price of doing business. And the Steelers are in that division with Baltimore, with Cincinnati, in a conference with Kansas City, with Buffalo. You have to get some firepower offensively. As good as your defense is, and it's very good, you cannot have the same offensive personnel back next year. You had to switch it up. You had to add to it. And adding DK Metcalf, who in my opinion is one of the 10 best receivers in the National Football League, is a huge start. And it's a five-year deal. I don't know if he's going to play out the whole five-year deal. Who cares? It's 5 years, $150 million. You know he's going to play the first three. You need him for that first 3 years. You need him when T.J. Watt's still in his prime, when Hayward's still playing, when Minka Fitzpatrick's still on the back end. That's when you need D.K. Metcalf to play well. The last 2 years of the contract, okay, figure it out. But he wouldn't come to Pittsburgh unless it was that deal. You had to do it. Unless you were trading for A.J. Brown, but I don't think he's getting moved. You had to go get D.K. Metcalf. He was the receiver who wanted out, wanted a new contract, and the one that could really reshape your offense. Now, the Steelers have a great 1-2 punch. If you weren't sure if Pickens is a 1, I think he could be a very good 2 in the league. And you have now a number 1 in DK Metcalf. The big issue now is who the hell is playing quarterback. That's a bigger issue for the Steelers. Now, you sort out the wide receiver position. You're fine at the skill position now. Maybe you add a Matt Golden in the third round if he's there. I don't know if he will be. But there's good receivers later on. There's Trey Harris from Ole Miss. I mean, you're picking at, 21? If you really wanted to, you can add a Buka. You can add another skill position player. Maybe they love Jackson Dart in the draft and they're going to go quarterback. Or they have just trade all their draft picks and try and get Jadeur Sanders. I don't see that happening, but clearly they have a plan in place. If they made this move for DK Metcalf, clearly they have a plan. They like Sam Darnold. I heard that. Would Aaron Rodgers go to Pittsburgh? We'll see. But that's the next big question. Do you bring back Justin Fields? We're going to see what happens. But right now, I really like what Pittsburgh's done. They've had a great start to the offseason. Now all they have to do is address the rest of that roster. The offensive line could get a bit better, sure. But it's not a glaring weakness. They just need to find their quarterback now. And I don't hate Justin Fields. I don't. I thought when he played, okay, he's relying on his legs, but he was played pretty darn well. I think they were 4-2 or something like that, and then they went to Russell Wilson. I wouldn't hate him being there at all. I don't mind Justin Fields there at all. If you want to get Sam Darnold, okay, go get Sam Darnold. If you think Aaron Rodgers has something left in the tank, okay, go get Aaron Rodgers. But there's options for the Steelers. Worst case, you bring back Fields. Worst case. But you signed DK, five-year deal, $150 million, and now there's no longer a question, at least for the short term, for the next 2 to 3 years, on if you need a good receiver. Who's going to be the big receiver to step up? You paid a premium to get one. You gave up a second-round pick, and you gave him the big extension. And now as 1-2 punches go in the NFL at wide receiver, the Steelers have definitely put themselves up there. Sure, there's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, obviously Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Seattle had a great three there, but now it's just JSN. Like, look at great wide receiver duos in the league. The Steelers have to be in the top five. DK Metcalf, George Pickens, that's a very nice 1-2. Very nice. With Freiermuth, who I'm telling you, he's a big pass catcher. Is he the fastest? No, but he's big on third and short, third and intermediate. That's where Freiermuth comes in handy. Good in the red zone. That's a pretty good pass catching lineup there. Now the big question is, who will be under center for Pittsburgh? And we might find out by the day's end. NFL free agency is heating up. So maybe before the end of the show, we got 10 minutes? Left in the program, maybe we find out who the quarterback of the future for the Steelers is on this program. Maybe. We have to get into another break, but when we come back, we'll quickly recap that hectic week in the NBA and some of the scores from Indian Wells and Russell Henley putting on a phenomenal final stretch at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors. Do not go away.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sheedy.
And I'm Piper Curtis.
We are the producers of Discordia, a 10-part audio docuseries for CJLO 1690 AM, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada Radio Meters Program.
Tune in on Monday, March 10th at 6 p.m. for the 7th episode of Discordia on the 2023 crew campaign and how they became Concordia's new teaching and research assistant labor union.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, indie, and more, along with some favorites of the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley every Friday at 11 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here in the Tommy John Show. So yeah, NFL free agency heating up. Let's see. We got a few minutes left in the program. We'll see if some any other big names. Since then, the only big one I'd say is DJ Reed, the Jet corner. He signs $48 million over 3 years with the Detroit Lions. That's a big pickup for them. Other ones, Dan Moore. That's a big loss for Pittsburgh as we're talking about the Steelers. He goes to Tennessee, $82 million on a four-year deal. That's a big one that broke while we were chatting away. And B.J. Hill returning to Cincinnati, 3 years, $33 million. That's really the big ones today. And also forgot to mention Hassan Reddick, $14 million on a one-year deal going to Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay brings in Hassan Reddick, re-signs Chris Godwin. They needed help on that pass rush. And watching Tampa Bay last year, I was blown away with the offense that Liam Cohen's running, who's now the head coach of the Jaguars. We'll see what he does with Trevor Lawrence. But in watching their games and the ones they lost, I found their defense could not get off the field on third down. I was the same way when Brady was playing there in Tampa Bay. It was evident in that Kansas City Monday night game earlier this year. Their defense cannot get off the field on third down. And adding Hassan Reddick, a good pass rusher, that should help. Because it was just 3rd and 10, 3rd and 13. You think Baker Mayfield's going to get the ball back? And it's just back-breaking 3rd down conversions they allowed. So they're trying to help that pass rush, getting Hassan Reddick. I like the play. I really do. That's a good signing. The Jets really botched that thing. Man. Speaking of other deals, when you don't have a contract in place, don't do it. Talk to the agent beforehand. Carolina with Miko Rantanen, the Jets with Hassan Reddick. They just talk to the agent beforehand and get an extension done, or at least a plan in place with the player. Don't just trade for him and then hope you come to an agreement. That was an absolute disaster by the Jets, the Hassan Reddick situation. And now he walks to Tampa Bay. Shocking. So Indian Wells, man, what a weekend that was. My goodness, we had just shocker after shocker. We had the number one seed, Alex Zverev, getting knocked out in three sets. That was a crazy match. Crazy match. And then you had Novak Djokovic losing in the first round to the kid from the Netherlands. Was Van de Zanschelup, whatever his name is. He's got a big serve. He's going to be a very nice player. You have Casper Ruud losing, the four seed. So already they have the number one seed, number four seed, number six seed all out of the tournament. And there's a really big one tonight if you're a tennis fan. Denis Shapovalov, the Canadian, one of the hottest players on tour, 9 o'clock against the two seed Carlos Alcaraz. And it really, and I'm a bit upset about it because it's all in the draw. If he was on the Djokovic draw or the Medvedev, the Zverev draw or the Kasparov draw, I think he would go to a semifinal. But he said he has to play Alcaraz here at the round of 32. It's just, ugh. What I'd do for him to win this match. If he wins this match, he can make a deep, deep run. The draw opens up a bit. Djokovic is out in his half. We'll see. Or in his quarters, sorry. Alcaraz and Djokovic were supposed to meet in the quarters. He got just a brutal matchup. But with Djokovic out, if he beats Alcaraz, that draw immediately opens up, and he could make a run to the semifinal. The way he's playing, it's dry conditions, and he went out there on Saturday and just demolished the kid. What was his name? Adam Walton from Australia, 6'3", 6'2". He demolished him. What was the other big guy? Oh, yeah, Rublev, the 7 seed. So think about that. 1-4-6-7 already out at Indian Wells. Other good matches today, Taylor Fritz and Tabilo from Chile. That should be a good one. Ben Shelton catching off. That's a good one. Grigor Dimitrov, Gael Monfils at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be watching that one. I love Indian Wells. You go from the Australian Open, you have a little bit of a gap. Sure, the Dallas Open's great and seeing a Canadian win that, but you just need big tennis tournaments. Great setting, great location. They play at night. Love that one. You go to the women's side, and there's a lot of good matchups today. Coco Gauff, Maria Sakkari at 4 o'clock, Madison Keys and Mertens. What a story Madison Keys is. Man, did she gets the job done, finally gets over the hump this year, wins the Australian Open. And she's playing some really good tennis. So she'll be playing Elise Mertens tonight at 2 o'clock. So just in a little bit. Some big names still left. Danielle Collins, that was a little big loss yesterday. This Andreeva girl, 6'3", 6'1". 6'3", 6'love". She's playing great. Iga Swiatek, 6'love", 6'2". She's on in the next round. There's a lot of good tennis players still left. Sure, we lose some of the big names, but still, there's a lot of young stars playing well here at Indian Wells. Russell Henley won at Arnold Palmer yesterday. Morikawa cannot catch a break right now. He's playing great golf, but Russell Henley chipped in on 16, eagle there, and just did not look back. And we got the players this week. The year's fifth major at TPC Sawgrass. I saw that McIlroy, Scheffler, Schauffele all in the same group. That should be fireworks. And then you got, a couple more tournaments, and then we're down at Augusta National for the first major of the year at the Masters. So that should be fun. And in the NBA, what a weekend that was. The Lakers and the Celtics just playing an absolute thriller on Saturday night. Jason Tatum went for 40. The Celtics win 111-101, snapped the Lakers' winning streak. And then yesterday, the big one, Oklahoma City, big win against the Denver Nuggets. SGA was fantastic in the win. He had 40 points as well. And Oklahoma City are 53-11. 53-11. They have a 12-game lead on the Lakers. 12. Thunder in first. Lakers and Nuggets tied in second and third. Then you got the Grizzlies in fourth. The Rockets in fifth. And the red-hot Golden State Warriors. Adding Jimmy Butler has done wonders for them. They have won 4 in a row. They are 9-1 in their last 10. And I think their one loss was to the Sixers, which is funny. They are the sixth seed right now and would avoid that play-in game right now, I believe. Then you have Minnesota. The Clippers get a big win last night. Kawhi Leonard finally looks healthy, which is good for them to see. Quickly to the East, the Cavs leading the way. They've won 14 in a row. They're 8 games up on the Celtics, who are in second. The Knicks in third. Milwaukee in fourth. The Indiana Pacers fifth. And what a story this is. Detroit Pistons in sixth place right now. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And Cade Cunningham has been phenomenal. Been phenomenal. We're back next Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, here on CGLO 1690 AM. Appreciate you guys for listening. No new signings in the NFL and free agency, but we will recap all the big moves this weekend. We'll find out where Aaron Rodgers plays. We'll find out where Sam Darnold plays over the next week, which should be fun. Thank you guys for listening. We're back next Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, right here on CGLO 1690 AM. I'm Tommy Lane. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to